Ja, hallo, lieve luisteraar. Klopt alles een beetje? Misschien is het een beetje zacht. Ach, nee. Probleem. Even een moment.
Like our owl?
It's artificial.
Of course it is.
Must be expensive.
Very.
Nou, ik hoop dat alles verder wel goed werkt, want hier is, ik zag net een alarmerend berichtje van een USB write error. Nee, een SD write error, maar. Maar goed, ja, we zijn bij de Nieuwland, want de Dyke March heeft een bijeenkomst georganiseerd over een boek. Dat boek dat heet Against Ageism, A Queer Manifesto. En de schrijfster Simone van Saarlo, dan moet ik het goed zeggen, die is hier om daarover te vertellen en daarover te praten. En het is een beetje een precaire situatie, want het is een heel klein opgezet ding. Dus dat hoort eigenlijk heel veilig te zijn om je dan te uiten. Dus het is een beetje discutabel om de radio erin te gooien. Maar we hebben afgesproken dat ik gewoon begin en dat het algemene praatje in aanmerking komt. En dat als op een gegeven moment er echt gepraat gaat worden, dan zijn we eruit. Dus zo gaat het gaan. En ik denk dat het bijna gaat beginnen. Oh, ik heb nog een brandende. Het is een beetje spannend, want ik weet niet of het allemaal goed gaat gaan. Dus we gaan het zien. Ja, we zitten beneden in de centrale zaal van de Nieuwland. We zijn een stuk of 25 mensen of zo, 30, ik weet niet, ik kan niet zo goed tellen, ik ben niet zo van de getallen, weet je. En ik weet nou eigenlijk, ik kan nog een stukje website voorlezen, maar. Huh? Oh, er zijn nog wat technische dingen die gegeven moeten worden. Maar voor de rest lijkt alles klaar. Er is een beamer. De couch is, de bank is helaas niet in gebruik genomen. Dat had ook mooie scène opgeleverd. Dus, het gesprek zich op de bank, op het podiumpje afspeelde. Maar zo is het niet. Ondertussen kun je natuurlijk nu, als je naar buiten wil, kun je ook naar het Circus Bende Festival. Dat beleeft vandaag zijn laatste dag van dit jaar. En in het Erasmuspark. Dat is al vanaf donderdag is het daar een enorm feest. Met heel veel circus, heel veel mensen. Heel veel muziek, heel veel acrobatiek, heel veel kermis. En glas, heel veel glas. Als je van gebroken glas houdt, self-breaking glass, dan zou ik naar Compagnie Dissocié gaan. Dat is een enorme belevenis. En er is ongetwijfeld ook weer een leuk muziekprogramma. Gisteren was Frans Doedel langdurig te horen op Radio Pattenkoek, meer dan een uur. En die was er 2 weken geleden ook al. Toen zat hij bij de Frequence Bar, die een beetje aan elkaar aan het vallen was. Maar de Frequence Bar is, behoorlijk opgefrist. Die zag er weer helemaal netjes uit met opgepompte banden en... die bewoog van tijd tot tijd. En, ja. Het is spannend wat er allemaal gaat gebeuren. Dus ik, ik wil maar een beetje door, want anders dan weet ik veel, dan hoor je niks. Zo. Oh, er waren natuurlijk problemen met beamer of zo. Ja, er was een beamer gebruikt, want de schrijver heeft ook een PowerPoint. En het is dus een queer manifesto over ageism. En, nou, ik wil zeggen dat dat mij wel interesseert.
Do you want to maybe introduce a little bit about the manifesto? Oh, actually, first, there's someone from Radio Patapu here today. We're like live on like an anarchist radio kind of thing. So if anyone has questions from the audience and doesn't want to be recorded, maybe just wave at him and then he'll turn off the recording.
Yeah, I will stop anyway if things get more intense.
Which is a promise. Depending on who you are and what you like.
Yeah, but absolutely don't feel obliged to be on the radio if you don't want to. Like,
yeah, just wave and move on.
Great. Okay.
Do you want to tell something about the manifesto?
First, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. Maybe also wave. We'll have to have different waves, but wave if like maybe we're not able to make ourselves legible, like if we're not loud enough, or just shout out like louder, as well if we're in any way going too fast with like language, and if something needs to be more explained, just feel free to like interrupt in any way. Thank you Lou and Dyke March for having me. I'm very excited to be here with you at Nieuwland. I also want to say, you know, after, even though we did such a careful job of setting ourselves up in front of the screen, don't feel in any way obliged to keep seated. You know, if you need to move around or if you need to make noises, don't worry. I know it's like a bit formal-ish. despite being surrounded by anarchist stickers in this beautiful space of New England, right?
Yeah, on that note, like we want this to be like a conversation with anyone who wants to be involved with it. So if you want to ask a question or make a comment at any point, just raise your hand and we'll moderate the conversation your way.
Yeah. And also, if you really crave laying down on the couch, for example, behind us, just feel free to do whatever feels comfortable. Somebody already announced that they're going to take a nap, so, you know, it's fine. And that also counts for, I mean, it's right behind me right now. Not anymore, it's a 10-second slide. If at any moment you just need to take a break, or, you know, if you're like, I'm not buying any of this, you can leave. You can close your... Thank you. She's very sexy, and then she says, like, this is 54, and there's a kind of, like, this coming out structure, right, of, like, oh, no, it's not if you pass 50s and you're a cis woman in this case, that in some ways you're not like you shouldn't be sexualized, or you can't be sexy, you can't be like a hot queer dyke, a super dyke, to speak to your t-shirts, right? Which is great, of course, and I love Mona Al-Tahavi, and I like would celebrate her anytime, at any age. This is also a few years ago, but simultaneously, it's this question of inclusion, right? And like many of us have learned from like the way in which we're thinking about coming out and what it means to try and include ourselves into the institutions that are supposedly here for us doesn't actually work. So one of the threads in the book is also about this question of like, okay, what do we do to tackle ageism if we don't want to follow these kind of inclusionary seat at a table coming out structures of visibility? Like, okay, yes, visibilize older women, or like visibilize, like talk more publicly about menopause, for example, which is something that you're seeing right now a lot, which is, in some ways, you want to applaud this, right? And at the same time, the question remains like, okay, but what does that do to the category of age in and of itself? Because so much of the defensive structures around ageism actually re-stabilize the essentialist nature of what we consider age to be. And this restabilization is pretty dangerous when we're thinking also in the ways in which time is not just mapped onto the body in terms of age, but also onto space. And so I'm thinking here, for example, with somebody like Denise Ferreira da Silva, who writes about linear time mapped onto space. For example, like the most concrete example is, of course, the way in which we're talking about the first world versus developing world or third world countries, right? Like these kind of differentiations come from a kind of time-based linear thinking where everything needs to be progressed, and that which is like progressed is quote-unquote better, right? So this is how all these things mesh up. I'm getting all like, whoa, from this PowerPoint behind me, but that's fine. I love it, but I don't know how it is for you. But to go back to the intergenerational relationships, so I write also from this experience of having like partners who are multiple decades older than I am. And it's not just that it's a queer manifesto because it uses queer theory for its obvious reasons, in the sense that queer theory has done a lot of thinking about normative time and the rhythms that bodies are pressed into, right? And I think with this also in my first book, Playing Monogamy, where the relationship escalator comes forward, for example. So this idea that you go from dating to... Yeah, see, I forget because I'm so off this escalator. I think you get married next, and then you get children, right? Or get. Then you produce children, and then you fall off the escalator because you divorce, and then you get on another one, right? It's like this, but the thing with the escalator is, of course, that it goes only one way. There's no intersections on the escalator. And the other thing about the escalator is that it has only one velocity, right? Like one kind of speed. So if you go too fast, like then you're U-hauling and you're lesbian, or if you go too slow, you have commitment issues, right? Like these kind of ways in which time is employed onto like what is normative behavior.
Yeah, and I guess it's also like always frowned upon if you kind of stop at a certain point on the escalator and decide this is where I want to be.
Yeah, because then you're missing out on growth and progress. Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's, so of course it's a queer manifesto because of its loyalty and relationship and intimacy to this kind of queer thinking with time, but it's also, and this is where the manifesto part comes in, right, in some ways, it's not just against normative time, it's also drawing from an experience of being in these intergenerational partnerships or relationships and noticing that also in queer spaces, there is a lot of, I was going to say fucking, and I can't say that. Even on the radio, fucking, there's a lot of fucking ageism circulating in these spaces, right? And in some ways, there's, we can have some generosity for the kind of fear that young queers bring when it comes to older people because of this like fear of conservativeness or like having conservative values or yeah, like in some ways the way in which like some of us leave the nuclear family, and therefore like the older generation is perceived as being conservative. And for me, this is a really important point where you get to the t-shirts of the Fuck Your Racist Grandma, which is a project by Olatava Karada. And this kind of points to the ways in which it doesn't do justice to anybody, right? To have this idea that the old are supposedly holding conservative values and the young, therefore, would have almost inevitably would be more progressive, right? Like this is the problem of this, or like the way in which the Fuck Your Racist Grandma addresses, on the one hand, of course, it addresses the infantilization of older people by assuming that they would not have access to the things that we read, or we, I don't know, that a younger person reads, or sees, or gets in touch with. So there's an infantilization that happens there, but of course it also, maybe even more dangerously so, presumes that the present and the future is more progressive than what was in the past.
Is that also something you're kind of, because you're writing about these intergenerational relationships, is that something that you like witnessed, sort of the way people treated your partners that were older?
Yes, is the short answer. Yes, yes, and I think in multiple ways, right? I think also, like, definitely on a level of expecting that somebody holds particular values because of their age, which, you know, on a societal level and on a cultural level is itself a problem, right? Like, for example, the example that I bring forward in the book is also about the Dutch king. Sorry, just feels really weird. who apologizes? I think it's in the example. It's about the golden coach, the Gouden Koets, that was then displayed as an art object or as a heritage object in Amsterdam Museum, but was of course before in use. And so he kind of, you know, narrates why the golden coach is no longer going to be in use, and he refers to this idea of it being a different time now, which, you know, in many ways erases the way in which there were always voices that would be highlighting the fact that the Golden Coach has enslaved, like depictions of enslaved people on there. The same, of course, when the apologies for the Dutch involvement in slavery, the Dutch setting up of slavery, happened in the Netherlands, there's this kind of like, we now know better, which then again erases the fact that there has always been abolitionist voices. So this is how deeply it relates, right? Like this kind of like, this assumption that somebody doesn't know something because of their age doesn't just relate to this kind of individual level, but to this kind of cultural notion of erasing voices of the past because of this presumption that the past is behind.
Being a leader.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I want to be.
In the modern world.
I want to be a leader. I am a leader.
Leider.
This is my biggest problem.
That book is over hoe de leiders in de wereld het beste kunnen omgaan met een situatie waarom het fout gaat.
They just have to deal with it.
Maar ik zie dat hij zelf ook in de fout gaat.
Ja, maar dat doen we allemaal.
And on your question, right, like...
No, we are ourselves. That is who we are. There's no one else telling me who I am.
Luister, Michel, ik heb mijn hele leven... Iedereen altijd opgevangen in mijn leven, omdat ik een enorme empathie heb tegenover...
People are ageist. So... How do you cross then those structures?
Yeah, I guess the question maybe is how do we, as Dyke March, try to break that down in some way? But I think sort of maybe you don't have the answer for that either.
I don't have that.
Yeah, I'm saying that because you end with a beautiful poem that's. That I think leaves things quite open-ended.
Mm.
in the book.
True.
But maybe since it came out like 2 years ago, maybe since you've really come to some new realizations.
I mean, it's hard because there's also like a question. The question of inclusion also brings up the question of like, do you have to, right? Like, do you have to sort of cross over? Because the inclusionary sort of, there's also like a kind of marketing thing, right? Like, which is what the Facebook thing kind of brings forward. It's like, yes, it's about infrastructure, which is like, which spaces, where do people go? Which spaces do people gather? And I think that's a really important question to ask when you want to reach people. It's also like, okay, why? It's interesting to go to the online, right? You're saying physical posters, but what about, you know, meeting people outside? Like, you know, and actually being like, okay, that's a dike. Let me go up to them. Which is also a problem, right? Like, there's no way that you can do it right. But it would be interesting to think about, like, more physical spaces where people gather. As well as like, yeah, building more intergenerational relationships.
Yeah.
But maybe not from an inclusion. This is kind of what I tried to do in the book, right? Yeah. Is that it's not from like an inclusionary, which is like the kind of tokenism you would have in anything. It's like, oh, I want older friends. Okay. like, so how are you gonna do that, right? Versus a kind of, and this is where for me the sexualization of the cover and Samantha Nye's work. This is also Samantha Nye's grandmother. And I think it's, that's me. still. But the reason for me that I really appreciate Samantha Nye's work is not just because of all the sexy imagery, right? But it's also because Samantha Nye works with her grandmother and her mother. And I think that's quite important because she dares to sexualize, and she dares to sexualize her own family, right? The nuclear family. And I talk a little bit about this fear of incestuous projection, also in these intergenerational partnerships that I had, where my partner would be approached as my parent, and then we'd be like, well, no, actually, we're partners, and that brings in a residue of incest, not because of us, but because of the initial imposition of, oh, you must be family, because how else, why are you so close, like, why are you holding hands with such a big age gap, right? And, you know, as we know from being in queer relationships, etc., like, there's all these projections that come up to you, and then the question is, like, how do you counter them? So one of them has been inspired by Adrian Piper's calling card, which are these business cards, which, you know, for those who are in their 20s, were before the QR code. Now I'm making an ageist joke. But, and like, so Adrian Piper, who's a performance artist from New York, a white passing black woman, started handing out these cards, right? Like, of saying, like, hey, I'm here alone because I want to be alone. I do not want to be bothered. Or, hey, maybe you haven't realized this, dear friend. Maybe you didn't realize this, but what you said was racist. And so we made these cards that say, like, dear friend, you might not have realized this, but you just misidentified my lover as my parent / child. And that has been a kind of strategy of placing the kind of burden of imposition outside of us, ourselves, in the sense that what I love about the power play is that you're sort of saying, like, look, you're so boring to me that I have already made a card that I have a whole stack of. Like, you are literally walking a script. You're really, like, you're just following a script that I have already preconceived, that I have already expected, and that will happen again tomorrow. It happened again, it happened yesterday, and it will continue to happen, which is a kind of flipping of a script of, like, who's carrying the burden of explanation, right? Mm. Now I'm just thinking, I see a hand.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, just to kind of go back to the race of grandma and also the script. I have a, like, mildly transphobic grandma, and I had a, like, very confrontational conversation with her last week. I, like, her transphobia mostly comes in the form of her worries for me. Mm-hmm. And some of those are genuine, I'm sure. But the transphobic undertone is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it very interesting that both my family members kind of suggested or like offered that like, yeah, I shouldn't confront her with this, mm-hmm. just let it go. They wrote me like paragraphs, long letters and stuff about this. And I was like, well, I cannot let this go. Like, I cannot have this relationship with them if I don't confront them about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I found really interesting. Because, like, this is, I think, something you address as well, that we kind of assume that, or accept the racist grandma, like, not confront them. And I really struggle with this, like, asymmetry as well. It's like, yeah. You know, they're like, wealthy, you know, they're old, they're cis. Like,
yeah.
So there's so many asymmetries, and this is just something that people don't realize.
Uh-huh.
And also this whole conversation, like, I've had so many times at this point, like,
yeah.
every single one of these always goes the same way.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what my point was, just, like, yeah, how do you think about this? Like, because the burden does always fall on me, kind of.
Yeah.
And also in this age, it's like, this age-related thing, like, because they assume that they kind of have, like, all the wisdom or whatever, and that is very obvious. Like, I don't really know how to grapple with that.
And do you feel... I wonder if you feel like you have other intergenerational relationships with people who are not family-based, like nuclear family.
Not so many. No,
yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel a bit, this is a bit of a strange setting for me to, like, keep asking you questions back, but I do wonder, like, why does it, like, this is the problem, right, with the burden. It's like there's these strategies,
yeah.
right, of, like, placing the burden outside of yourself. What I really love about the calling cards is that there's, like, an obvious performative situation to it,
yeah.
which is that it doesn't presume that it will be an overthrow of a system,
mm-hmm.
but instead it has a very clear temporality.
Mm-hmm.
It's only that particular moment. You do not keep tracking or tracing
yeah.
the person's, the receiver's development, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
right, after that. And I don't know if this relates to what you're saying, but I think for me, I really try to think about these kind of strategies in relationship to that kind of frivolous
mm-hmm.
temporality.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, it becomes about guiding something or someone to change,
yeah.
and that actually becomes very progressive and enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm saying enlightening in a very negative sense, right?
Yeah.
Where you're supposedly guiding somebody through the steps of gaining acceptance.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to this, right?
Yeah.
And I struggle with this, obviously, personally,
mm-hmm.
myself as well. However, I try to remind myself, not like in the sort of like, oh, humbling, like, I'm not right that transness exists, but also like, I'm more interested in thinking against my own existence in relationship to other people who are also existing in transformations
mm-hmm.
than I am educating, quote unquote.
Yeah.
my family or whatever, that I'm existing, because there's something weird about the simplifications that I'm pushed into
mm-hmm.
when defending something that actually already feels so boring to me.
Yeah.
Right? So, and this I'm saying, and then I'm writing a new book.
That. Ah, that George Arias. What you could lese is dit. Systems. Système. Système. C'est du français. C'est du français.
Oui,
c'est du français.
Ja, schijn alsjeblieft uit over Frans. C'est du français.
Ah, bepaalde. Can you please to hold this again? Please. This is for the take. And I have to make another picture. To understand this picture, I have to take another picture.
You lost it then.
No. I've got it.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
I lost your wires, man.
No. It's not that difficult. And what I'm doing is rather practical.
Okay. Well, you teach me now.
The picture you saw before, you could not see, you could not really
read it because it's...
It was upside down, but now you can read
upside
it.
Down, not upside down. It was
it's spiegelschrift. Mirror.
Ecosystems,
yeah. Yeah. So, I have to combine these two pictures...
What are we talking about, ecosystems?
...in a movie, because this is only sound. And this with only the sound, it's rather incomprehensible. You're my neighbor. You're sitting there, your wife is sleeping there, and she has just now attacked you with a knife. And not a knife from the kitchen.
No.
I don't want a jungle mess. No, precies. What I see is Umberto Eco.
I just come from Paris. It's even not like that. She was not going. Yes, she wanted to attack me, but she changed her mind immediately.
You were lucky.
But then...
Because she's a strong woman, huh?
I tell you...
Now I have to give myself some wine. Can you hold it again? Yeah. Als je nou weer overneemt? Je hoeft niet zo hard te doen. Als je hier maar blijft uitslaan en op rood staat, zie je dat? Mm-hmm. Als dit rood staat, is het goed. En dan ga ik de foto's dat ik allemaal nog gemaakt.
Is dit een afleiding of zo?
Ik ging mezelf een beetje bijna schenken.
Ben je...
dat ging niet.
Hoeveel flessen heb je?
Eén. Dit is mijn laatste. Okay. Dit is maar goed.
Ja?
Ja, ik weet niet.
Dan heb ik slecht nieuws voor je. Ik heb er nog anderhalf.
Dat gaan we gewoon door. We blijven.